everybody, and welcome back
to A Nerd's World. And we are your hosts. My name is Justin.
And I am Andrew. And welcome. It's been a long, long time.
Yeah, I should look at my phone and see when our last upload was.
I think it's been a year.
Yeah, it's
because COVID anniversary happened.
316.
And
yeah, we're just over a year. It was 316 of 2020.
Oh, Jesus.
So if we had done this like last week, we would have hit the year anniversary.
The year anniversary on.
That's crazy.
Oh, sorry. Oh, and I.
Unfortunately, the way things have shook out and my recording equipment situation and everything, we just couldn't get this going throughout the past year. And
yeah, and we both have like certain people in our lives that we just don't want to risk it, you know, getting together.
Yeah.
That was kind of the main thing of why we couldn't get together. And
yeah.
The one recording item we had was at Justin's place. So
yeah. And if I didn't have mine so that Andrew could have one, then we still couldn't do it. And to segue into our next point, Pod and Gore couldn't have kept going.
Yeah, and I loaned the equipment just to, you know, I know he would use it more. And at the time, COVID for me at work, it is crazy what it's been for me.
Yeah.
And right when I thought things were winding down, something gets thrown in my ballpark and I'm like, oh, damn it.
Well, yeah, I mean, first 6 months or so at my work, it was just insane. Just crazy busy.
Oh, I bet for you.
Yeah. Trying to supply stores and stuff with the proper, you know, things that they needed. And it was just brutal.
I saw in the paper, it also, yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah. And then the last 3 months where I thought I was going to get back into recording, I was like, okay, good. Justin's got he's got a recording device. We can do our thing again. And something else happened at work again. I'm like, oh no. And we were just picking up the slack and all that. So it's just one thing after another. And, you know, we don't want to keep, you know, like keeping you guys on end. Cause I've seen the messages from, fans of the show. I want to give a shout out to, Chris at Nerds Week.
Yeah, definitely.
For asking about us, and I was like, oh, well, that's
someone cares.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, it's been tough. It's, you know, and thankfully at least I've been able to keep going with some of the stuff, and obviously I've started a new show with our friend Jeremy. But from us, Andrew and I talking and trying to figure even just recording this episode out, there's a very real chance that A Nerd's World is going to be on permanent hiatus for the coming future.
Like, we wanted to do it, you know, if we were going to record, we wanted to do it like, you know, like keep it on a schedule.
Yeah.
But with Justin taking on a couple extra recordings when we were down at the time, and with my work schedule, I just couldn't make that commitment, and, you know, without having our real lives either.
Yeah. That's the other thing. We have other things to do with our time. Like we have full-time jobs, full-time families, you know,
I got my boys, which you'll have to forgive me. This is the first time I'm recording at home.
Yeah.
And, if you hear my kid pounding on the door or saying, change the channel from Blippi, you know,
that's why.
You might hear that. I don't know. Hopefully this is not a soundproof room. So if the recording sounds different, that's the reason.
Yeah.
So,
but if you do want to keep in touch with Andrew and I, obviously my shows have been going for a little while now. Pod and Gore, our friend Brandon and I discuss horror movies. We were off for about a month or so with the COVID of it all, but we found a way to keep going. We just actually hit our 50th episode, our last record.
Yeah, I heard Van Helsing.
Yeah. So, which is kind of comic book related.
Is that the one?
Yeah. That was our 50th. So if you want to get
it. Oh, I was pretty entertained by it, so.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad someone was. So if you want to, you know, keep hearing my dulcet tones outside of A Nerd's World, you can catch me on Pod and Gore. And then our friend Jeremy and I, which is actually how Andrew and I met, we started a show called We Are Marvel, available wherever you listen to podcasts, and we break down the entirety of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And that's also been a very entertaining show.
Thank you. We're going in release order. So we started with Iron Man, and then we did Incredible Hulk. Our next one is Iron Man 2, which we're recording in a couple days. Probably by the time this comes out, we'll have recorded. And yeah, and then we have fun, you know, side episodes in between. So we'll start out a month with a movie, and then we'll do, you know, how would we have fit Spider-Man or the original X-Men movie into the MCU? What if these villains were actually the heroes of the movie instead of the villains? You know, so we do fun little side episodes and topics so that we don't burn through all the movies in a year.
Yeah, and I haven't officially launched anything yet on my end, but I am trying to work on Detective Commentary. It's a commentary of different DC products, such as movies, shows, unaired pilots. I got the unaired Wonder Woman pilot.
I've always wanted to watch that. I've seen it at cons.
Oh. I had to buy that. But anyway, I'm going to... Kind of like what me and Justin did for commentary specials for Batman and Jurassic Park. Mm. I'm going to be doing similar to that kind of format. So if you like that, go to Detective Commentary at Instagram and Facebook. I have those set up already.
Nice.
I just need to record a couple episodes and get that out to you guys.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to hear from you guys, and I'll have different guests on there to get different takes on it and share my love, or maybe scare people fandom of DC. Maybe both. So
cool. Yeah, I'm excited for that one to start up.
Yeah, and other than that, that's the only one I can make a little more time for.
Yeah.
And
all right.
But yeah, we like to thank you guys for at least hopefully you still subscribe to us and listen to our episode here.
Yeah, I mean, all our old episodes are still available if you want to listen to those. I have no plans or intentions of taking them down, so they should still always be available. Yeah. And like I said, maybe, hopefully one day, probably not anytime soon, we could find a way to get this to come back. But until then...
Yeah, or reformat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so please stay subscribed if you like, you know, and, you know, hopefully, yeah, one day you'll get to hear some more.
Yeah, I mean, stay tuned to our Facebook page, you know, it doesn't, you know, cost you anything to keep us liked and followed. You just won't get anything until we actually maybe one day do something with this, so fingers crossed, but yeah, don't hold your breath.
And on there, you should find links to We Are Marvel. I just shared one yesterday. And I'll share Pod and Gore and Detective Commentary's Facebook pages and Instagram pages.
Yeah, once those are all up and ready to rock and roll. Yeah, so yeah, that's a good thing. It's, you know, I don't know how active it'll be, and we'll try. We both have access to upload stuff onto the Facebook page. So... You know, we'll try, if there's any news on the other shows, every once in a while to plug stuff, you know, that way, so you guys can still keep in touch. Whoop, hit my phone.
Well, without further ado.
Yeah. Let's get into what this show is really about. Do you want to get started?
Yeah,
since it's your favorite thing, Mr. Detective Commentary.
Well, this is a review more, you know, but we had to talk about it because it quite a phenomenal, weird thing that happened for DC is the Snyder Cut of Justice League is what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah.
And we just thought we'd go out on a high note, at least for DC's only biggest high note property.
The only high note they've had since, I'll give them 2012 with Dark Knight Rises. Because I like Dark Knight Rises.
Aquaman and Joker, I'd say, were pretty high up in there.
I don't like Aquaman.
You know. Yeah, you are a Geoff Johns fan, so.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, and we'll get to it when we get into the movie, but the version of Aquaman we got for the Snyder Cut is Aquaman. What they did in the Joss cut and what they ended up having to do in the Aquaman movie because of that, not so much.
Well, let's give a little background history of what this is.
Yeah.
You know, so the Snyder Cut just got released just a couple days ago on HBO Max. And it was made and cut and directed by Zack Snyder, who originally, the movie came out in 2017, but he had to leave due to personal reasons and was taken over by Joss Whedon.
Yeah. Which at the time seemed like a great idea.
And boy, we got something. I mean, to me, I already had my perfect Justice League storyline, and that's with the DCAU, the DC Animated Universe. Yeah. And I mean, whatever we got for live action, I would have just considered a bonus that we actually had something. You know, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate that it turned out the way it did, and I only saw it twice when it first came out, and then I watched it recently just to see the differences between Zack's and Justice League, as people are calling it now.
Mm-hmm. My thing with it, I think the reason why I come down so hard on it now, and for the last 4 years, is that we live in a time where what happened with Justice League isn't acceptable anymore. Like, if the MCU didn't exist and we were still getting comic book movies like the Fox Fantastic Four or some of the shittier X-Men movies or Green Lantern, which I still like, but it's not great, then Justice League is acceptable because it's just more of the same. But we had, at that point, it's 2017, we had 9 years of solid Marvel content showing the rest of the industry how to do it correctly, and a director who did two of them. Well, Justice League isn't acceptable.
I mean, I agree with you on there, but he also showed us that maybe not using the Marvel formula that everyone was trying to do is not exactly the best thing for this franchise. Like, maybe this does not work out for DC.
Right. But I think the problem is that they transitioned from Zack Snyder, who did Watchmen and Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, which are very dark, gritty, somber movies, which isn't necessarily what I picture the DC tone to be, but it is what it is. And then they tried to do this lighthearted Marvel style happy movie without actually making that movie. Like, I was watching the Joss cut on my phone while I did my second viewing of Snyder Cut. The color's different. Like, it's very muted and, you know, gray, dark for the Snyder Cut, but the Joss Cut is just super bright. Like, Flash looks like super red, bright red, compared to the Snyder Cut where he's almost like a maroon. And it doesn't fit.
I'd say you notice more of the color with Wonder Woman. Hmm. Given, you know, like you also notice her hair is a lot brighter too in some scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what makes this so interesting, is that, I mean, it's not just for, you know, comic book fans. It's also for moviegoer fans to, like, have fun seeing the differences from a cut, or, like, how much of a difference one person's view can make it, or even, like, even when I was seeing the differences between 2017 versus the cut, is that, you know, just seeing the differences of, like, Gal Gadot delivering certain lines, as I noticed.
Yeah, the length, like, of scenes, going, the order of scenes, like the movie, the Snyder Cut opens with the Aquaman. I mean, after the real opening, which I think I love and I want to talk about here in a second, but the Aquaman thing happens, like, right out of the gate during the opening credits, whereas in the Joss cut, it's several scenes in. And Batman has a beard for that one scene, and then no other scene.
Well, I think this is the only thing I like from the Joss cut, is the beginning of, like, everybody knows. You know, I don't know. I kind of like that a little bit. And kind of gives the
I like tone the song.
Yeah, it's a good song, too. Better than the Icelandic women, you know, taking a sniff of that sweater.
I didn't mind that. Aquaman, it just took too long. He's very handsome.
I mean, it was very pretty, the singing, but then when that gal just grabbed that sweater, I'm going, like, you're in Iceland. It's not still warm or anything. Why are you sniffing it?
It could be. Yeah, I mean, there's... I love the Snyder Cut. I really do. As soon as I finished watching it the first time, I was like, I want to watch this again because I can't believe how great it is.
So, I was really excited for it. I mean, but I couldn't watch it with my wife or boys, you know, definitely not with the boys around. But I had to, so I just didn't want to be disturbed. I didn't want to get up and, you know, or pause it every time someone had to go to the bathroom. So I actually got up at 2:30 to watch the movie because I'm that much of a crazy fan for DC, and went to work like with 30 minutes to spare. I'm like, all right, good. I can.
I've never done that.
It was
worth it
to me.
I've been close back in the midnight showing days, and I still worked at Target at 4 o'clock in the morning. I had to race home, change, and then go to work. But
I got 5 hours of sleep in before.
That's not bad.
Before getting up at, So I mean, you know, we put the kids early enough that I can go, all right, hon, don't wake me up. You know, and I thought it was worth it for me, you know, just to get up at that time and just because there was, you know, I had to be quiet. There was a couple scenes I was like pointing at the TV going, oh, yes,
they did it.
Or we'll get into it when we get to the scene, but I was just laughing at how stupid, like, the most excited part was this comic book reference that I have not seen anyone say, you know, like, they noticed this Easter egg in it.
Is that the one that you mentioned in the chat?
Maybe.
I don't know what it was, so I'm curious to see if I noticed it too. Because there's definitely some cool Easter eggs that I saw that I was like, oh man, that's freaking awesome.
Oh, I'm sure for one part, we'll get to it.
Let's just get started, because there's a ton of stuff to cover. Yeah. I got like 3 pages of notes. I'm going to try and breeze through as fast as I can. So,
and it's very long.
Yeah. So we don't need this to be as long as the Snyder Cut. So.
Yeah, and I don't want to see any gifts from Jeremy on the Office reference there. That's what she said.
We will now.
Well, I know.
So without further any more ado than we've already adued, I love the opening. That was the first thing I noticed about this, was it opens with Superman's death, and it the symbolism of the kind of the death heard around the world as the shockwaves of his scream echoed throughout the entire world and woke up the mother boxes. And I went, that is, I think I actually said out loud, that is brilliant.
Yeah, no, that, it's very cool how it looked. Yeah. You know, you see those waves like traveling around the world and just popping the mother box.
Well, and it just, it, and the thing that I love about this version of the movie so much is everything that I questioned in the original cut, I was like, this makes sense now. All of the things like bringing Superman back and how that worked and how the mother boxes worked and what they were. Because, I mean, I'm not a huge DC person, but I know plenty. I don't recall the mother boxes being anything other than a transport device.
So, like, that's the thing with this movie. It actually explains or give you context of what, why this is this, or why this person's motivation is for this.
They gave Cyborg an actual story. Like, he's not just in there to be in there. You actually care.
They gave him shit to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of explained more of his powers, you know, too. And while I don't agree with Ray Fisher saying he's more powerful than Dr. Manhattan.
He said that? That's not
true. Yeah, I was going like, I'm like, I mean, you're powerful.
Yeah.
But not that powerful.
Dr. Manhattan's like if you took Superman and Cyborg and then made them more powerful.
Yeah. You know.
Maybe he needs to read Watchmen one more time.
Maybe, but I'm giving him a break because he, you know, he fought screwed. Pretty hard to get, you know, help. Yeah, unfortunately. And boy, you know, when you see the Cyborg's backstory, how can you blame him?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, that's the thing is this, the problem with what DC did or Warner Brothers did is in trying to jump the gun and be Marvel is that they left out origin stories for all of these characters. You know, the reason why Avengers worked so well is you had two Iron Mans, you had a Thor, you had a Hulk, you had a Captain America movie, all lead into this one team up, and you knew who they were, you cared about who they were, and you could go on the adventure with them. But with this, there wasn't a Flash movie, there wasn't an Aquaman movie, there wasn't a Cyborg movie, and there'd just been the Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah.
And all we had had for Batman was Batman v Superman.
Well, and not even that, not even the ultimate cut that not only fleshed it out, but also showed Lex Luthor at, you know, the pool of goo with the mother box showing and Steppenwolf, the real looking Steppenwolf that we should have gotten in the first place.
Yeah. And it's like, so the hope for DC fans is, okay, well, you're going to explain all that stuff in Justice League. And if you watch, like, the animated Justice League War, they do a very similar story in a very similar fashion where you see the origin for Cyborg and kind of ish an origin for Shazam.
Well, I mean, some of those characters explained a little bit going like, well, I got this from... You know, the space guardians, right. You know, or like, oh, your ring works on this.
Yeah. And so it was enough information, but with the Joss cut, there was nothing. You had that one. You had a brief moment of explaining Barry with his dad. But Cyborg, like all you really had was a 2-second conversation of like, yeah, got made. I don't know if they even say how he was made other than that YouTube video and Batman v Superman.
Well, and the way they just made his character like a Hunchback of Notre Dame kind of thing, you know, just not going out as much or showing any other emotion other than like, I hate my father, you know, kind of attitude only, you know, when it's more than that.
Yeah, and they don't even give you a reason as to why.
Or his, you know, his mom or how he's helping, which I don't agree the way he helped, like, changing the grade of that one girl on at the university computer. I don't know.
If you're gonna fail, you're gonna fail. That's what Andrew says.
Well, that, I agree on giving a break, but to hack into a university school computer and changing someone's grade, I'm like, that's not in the gray as much to me. I don't know.
That's fair. But yeah, I mean, just there, like that whole arc, I didn't love Ray Fisher's portrayal of Cyborg, but he did enough and there was enough story there that I cared. And so, and by the way, all spoilers for this, if you haven't watched the Snyder Cut yet, go watch it because we're going to spoil it in 3, 2, 1, yeah, spoilers.
And legally, legally watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. That too. If you can. When Silas dies, like you care. I don't, none of that stuff is even in the Joss cut, but there's this arc of their relationship, like the tape recorder thing. Just this small little nugget that pays off at the end, and it's so much more impactful and makes the movie work so much better.
Well, the thing is, it was supposed to be a 2-bit movie where the first should have maybe ended with it probably would have ended with them fighting Steppenwolf the first time. Like after that, you know.
See, that's what I was gonna ask. Because yeah, because that's this right was around the 2-hour mark as a 2-parter. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's around the 2-hour mark, and there was 12 minutes of fighting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's probably where they could have ended, maybe with some other scene or something like.
Yeah, or like right as they were deciding to bring back Superman, like right after they made the decision to bring him back, and.
Probably like end with like, you know, with that hologram of Superman flying up in the sky.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering is like, there's no way this was one movie that got trimmed and butchered. Like, and I will say this for Zack Snyder is he has a tendency of having bigger ideas than you can realistically portray in a movie. You look at Watchmen. The original cut of Watchmen is fine, but if you don't watch the ultimate cut that has Tales of the Black Freighter and all the extra stuff, you don't get the whole story, and it's not as good. And even Batman v Superman, like, that movie doesn't even make sense unless you watch the ultimate cut.
Well, even with the ultimate cut, there was apparently a whole another hour to it, you know, like it was supposed to be like 3 hours long. I know.
That's fucking. See, and so that's why I'm not sure, because it's like, okay, does he just have a real problem editing himself down for a movie? Or was Justice League supposed to actually cut in the middle and be 2 releases?
That was supposed to be 2 releases. Okay. From what I'm pretty sure that one was.
That makes sense. And that's what I was figuring when I was watching. I was like, this has to be 2 movies. Because there's no way, even if you cut out the unessential stuff, it's still 3 hours long.
Well, even some of the stuff that was cut out, like, I don't agree on. Like, I'm trying to piece together still of, like, not just what was cut, but what was added from Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
From their reshoots. And
you mean like that Russian family in Chernobyl that would have been dead?
That, you know what that Russian family felt like? It felt like Marvel's Chinese cut, you know, when they add like the random like Chinese, you know, the China surgeon and, you know, for Iron Man 3. I was just going like, what is this? That's what, I think that was DC's version, like.
In the Snyder cut, when it was explained that Steppenwolf was in Chernobyl, I went, oh, that makes sense. And then I went, wait, in the Joss cut, there was a family living there. They would be dead.
And there's green.
Very, very dead.
Well, and there's like green trees there. And I'm like, no, nothing should be growing that good there.
It's the first time where DC thought ahead enough to go, barren wasteland on fire makes sense because it's actually a barren wasteland on Earth already.
Yeah, and just, it didn't need to be there. Like, you could take it out and,
And the red sky, like, I know the red sky is like a crisis thing in the comics, so I gave it, you know, a pass, mm-hmm. but getting rid of that made it look so much better.
Yeah. Well, and I kind of mentioned a little bit with you when I was looking at the main one I know for sure of what was filmed by Whedon and what, you know, what was in the original now with Zach,
mm-hmm.
is the whole bit about when Superman was fighting the Justice League. And I'm just going like, what was so wrong with using Zach's version?
Yeah.
You know, that you had to do reshoots for, you know, you could have just used that part.
Yeah.
And that would have just been fine. And besides trimming just a little bit to save a little bit of time, it would have been fine.
Yeah, it would have made more sense. And that's the I kept waiting for the Lois is the secret weapon thing, because I actually didn't mind that idea that Batman was smart enough to be like, Lois can get through to him. But
yeah,
he also would have had no way of knowing that that's how he would react to being brought back to life. So the idea that she was just happened to be there because that's her routine of going there every day is so much better.
Yeah. And plus, save Warner Brothers money for reshoots and the digital mustache gate deal. Yeah, yeah. It's so
spared
stupid.
Us one just, scene.
Like what? That I mean, that probably hurt Whedon the most. Like after now, people are seeing this and they're going like, "Wait, they wasted so much money on this, you know, on that scene." I don't know.
Well, it's like the opening to the Joss cut when he's talking to the kids out on the phone. That stupid cell phone video of Superman talking to the kids about hope and shit. Like, why did you do that? Why did you not
hope
just
is
use...
Like a key... Hope is like your keys in your pocket. I'm like, wait, what?
What? Is that what he said? I had it on mute on my phone. I didn't want to listen to that crap. Oh God! Why
hope
would
is like
you not
your keys
use
or something?
Like the opening to the Snyder Cut was so great and made so much more sense as to why Darkseid, Steppenwolf, would be attacking now. Why would you cut that when it's already shot? If nothing else, it's like most of it is footage from your last movie, which we've seen. Why would you not use that as your opening?
For real, this is why it's so fun to watch this, you know, as not just a fan of DC, just as a moviegoer, you know, again, just question of like, why, you know, oh, and minus Batman fighting a parademon already and going like, it smells fear. That's how they react. I'm like,
why?
No,
that's not a thing at all.
You know, being a fan of like, of Jack Kirby's creation of the New Gods, and seeing how it was played out in that, like, actually did hurt me a little bit, going like, oh, what are you talking about? You know, Mother, I'm coming. I'm like, no, don't. But then you see Darkseid in this, you know, and I'm like, yes. Like,
it's amazing, and he looks great.
God, I'm going to be so ticked off that in the future, because they said they're going to make the new gods, like a movie of it.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to look like this. You know,
I don't know. It's hard to say. And I mean, Snyder has his own vision. And like I say, I don't always agree with it. Like over the last couple of days, there have been releases from Snyder of like, well, this is what my Justice League 2 would have been and Justice League 3. And I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the things he was going to do. I've kind of put in my head, like, this isn't the Justice League. It's a Justice League from a different multiverse. So, like, this is how this particular story pans out. It's not the story that panned out.
Yeah. No, it's... Yeah, it's just kind of a shame, but it's just for me that these new gods, you know, at least Darkseid, he looked the closest thing to what I love about Darkseid. Just the way he looked, and I don't like that look of Steppenwolf. I'm used to the old version where he's wearing like a green, like leprechaun, not a leprechaun, a paladin outfit, you know, and with a little cap, you know, but I did love this Steppenwolf and how he looked actually intimidating, even though he had the face that a lot of people have been making funny pictures of cats
because of his eyes.
With that face.
I didn't realize that until like today when I was listening to another podcast and they mentioned the eyes. Now I know, yeah, okay. But it didn't bother me because it looks so much better than the original version.
Yeah, definitely. That money was well spent of I think they said $78 million, right?
I think so. That sounds right. It's worth every penny.
Yeah. Worth it. Definitely worth it for the graphics you got for this one. I mean, the parademons already looked the same. So they didn't need fixing, I don't think.
Yeah, and they looked fine. I liked them for the most part. And just the fact that, I mean, like I said, I didn't watch the Joss cut with sound on, but I don't recall them ever saying the word Darkseid. It was all just like vague references.
So I did watch I did watch the movie with the sound on, but I fast forward a few times. But Steppenwolf in that version, he did say Darkseid once, and that was it. Once. No other explanation. You don't get the idea that he betrayed him like in this one, you know.
Yeah, in the Snyder and that cut. Was cool, too. It was like, oh, Steppenwolf has an actual story, too. That's a nice touch. A villain you can actually care about.
Related, and if... And that they're related, and like I know a little bit more, knowing that he's his uncle. And,
right.
You know, I don't know. Just this movie, I try to watch some of these DC movies as... Like, in the beginning, I'll watch it as a fan, you know, and just nerd and geek out over everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time I watch, not only do I review it, I also kind of visualize, like, do I need to explain to my parents about this? You know, like, if I were to show them this movie. And pretty much the majority of the movies, yes, I would have to, but this one, not so much.
Yeah, it does a good job. Like, I think this is... one of those movies where you could sit someone down who probably maybe seen Man of Steel and then show them this and they would still get it.
Definitely watch the previous movies, Man of Steel and BVS, because
if you can,
we also get a new character. we also get a new character that's never been introduced, but you know, one of the actors from the other two movies, the Colonel.
Henry Lennox is the actor's name, I think. He's in The Blacklist, and like if you see him, you'd be like, "Oh, it's that guy."
Yeah, and turning out to be Martian Manhunter.
Yeah. I wish that was something that I one? Didn't. I wish I didn't know that already, that he was going to be in it. But he also wasn't needed.
That's kind of the unfortunate thing, being you and me that would pay attention to this kind of news or whatever. Because at the time, we didn't think we were ever going to get this.
Right.
And, you know, they kind of announced going like, yeah, it was supposed to be Martian Manhunter. I'm like, really? That would have been cool. But then you see how it plays out in the movie. You go, well, I mean... your look and design were very cool and on point, but I don't think you were needed. And I think he kind of ruined this scene with Lois that Lois has with Martha Kent, which you thought it was Martha Kent, but then it's revealed as he leaves the room that it's Martian Manhunter. And it kind of takes away this moment that Martha and Lois have of like, you know, moving on and,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, I didn't see it that way, but it's true. That it does take away some of that impact of those two characters having that connection. And it also doesn't pay off. Yeah, and it raises more questions as to, like, so you were around, why didn't you help? Like, why weren't you
give it a little bit of
at Chernobyl taking out some parademons?
Well, I'll give it a little bit of leeway just because only on the first interaction, you know, the first time seeing him, because I was thinking, like, okay, well, he's the last of his race, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he's being extremely cautious, you know, but then you see him the second time at the end, which we'll get to later. But I had a problem with that. I'm just going, like, ugh, what?
Well, and it sounds like Zach wanted to use a Green Lantern, particularly John Stewart, and Warner Brothers wouldn't let him. So that was really kind of a placeholder scene, and it wasn't necessarily going to be Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, no, again, I'm like, just let him have a Green Lantern, for God's sake.
I know, and to segue in, they did use two of them, and I freaking loved them both. I didn't even notice the second one the first time I watched it. I had watched it a second time, but in the original cut, his character's name, I'm going to find it here somewheres. There it is.
When they get to the chapter of Age of Heroes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, when they showed the backstory and Darkseid invading Earth the first time, and you got the Amazonians and the Atlanteans and the old gods and all of them working to stop him. In the original version, obviously, it was Steppenwolf, but we did see his character's name is Yulongur, and he's one of the original, like, early Green Lanterns that protected our sector. And
I wasn't going to even attempt to say the name.
Yeah. Y-A-L-A-N and then a space, G-U-R. So I could be saying it wrong, but I say Yulongur. And, I mean, there's a cool backstory that I've learned with him, but I won't get into it here. But, like I said, he's in the original cut briefly, which I appreciated. But in the Snyder cut, it's a longer fight scene, and you see him a couple of times. And he's referenced more than once as a fighter from the stars. Well,
and a close-up on his face, too.
Yeah. Like, you know, in the original cut, it was like, I'm pretty sure that's who that's supposed to be, but you couldn't really tell. But in this one, it was like, yeah, that is definitely who that is.
And seeing Darkseid, like, reach out for that ring, like, you know, mm-hmm. I have the will, you know, I'm going to use this power, and, you know. Oh, it was so cool. And the extra footage of, like, Ares even.
Yeah.
Seeing him put on the skull helmet that could have gotten in the Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah.
You know, because you see the toy of Ares with a skull.
Yeah, originally, which I own.
They changed it last minute.
I hate that freaking design. It's almost like now I want to go back and rearrange my toys and have that Ares in my, like, Snyder Cut section. Because I was able to snag the pre-orders for Darkseid and Steppenwolf.
Ooh.
So
lucky you. I did not get on the ball on that, and I
tried.
I regret it now. It's I know. Mr. Toy God, you know. Yeah, I really want that Darkseid so I can purposely have his arms behind his back, you know, and but yeah, and also in that Age of Heroes, yeah, it's just so beautiful. Just the way it looked, all the Amazons looked a lot better. Extended, you know, yeah, I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, it was just great. It, like I said, like with everything in this movie, it played out better. It was allowed to breathe and be an actual scene where you could care. And having it be Darkseid made so much more sense. I mean, I guess having it be Steppenwolf and he failed the first time works.
Well,
they could have done that.
Not
still.
Even fail. He was just. Not even failed. The parademons were just pulling him back into the ship, and he was like, "No, I must fight more." I'm like, "That's so stupid. Why, you know, why is the general being pulled back? You know, like."
So what?
Yeah. I know they're losing it all, but shouldn't the parademons be listening to him, you know?
You would think.
You know, but seeing them, like, pulling Darkseid as he's injured, you know, after being beaten by the new gods and, you know, in the Atlantean trident, you know, deal, makes it, you know, somewhat more sense of, like, why he's losing and, you know, he's out unconscious, you know?
Yeah, I mean, essentially you have older versions of the Justice League fighting him and opposing him. And that was a nice touch, too, is Wonder Woman constantly kind of stressing the idea that all of these races and peoples were separated, but they united together, and they fought together to stop this invasion, and that's why they were able to win the first time. And so the idea of all of these different people uniting to stop the forces of evil again for this movie made so much more sense.
Well, and for the people who don't know, there's actually kind of an outline that was released that you kind of read. If you read into it, you'll learn like a little bit more of how this whole Justice League franchise was supposed to play out. But at the very end, there was supposed to be like a Lord of the Rings moment of like every race coming back together again to fight against Darkseid.
Like an endgame fight scene?
Like in, yeah, you know, just, but like the Age of Heroes kind of look too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
So much potential.
The other Green now, Lantern cameo that I didn't catch the first time.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, go ahead. So what's the other cameo you got?
So when Cyborg peers into the future, and it's a wide shot on a decimated Hall of Justice, and it starts going into Superman. If you look, and I, like I said, I missed it the first time. I was like, God, who is that? It looks familiar, but I didn't want to stop and pause and rewind. It's Kilowog, who is a very prominent Green Lantern.
Okay.
And he's the trainer of the Green Lanterns, played by the late, great Michael Clark Duncan in the Green Lantern movie.
So I did notice him the first time seeing it, but you know, like you, I didn't want to pause it.
Yeah.
And seeing a second time, I wasn't positive it was Kilowog.
Yeah.
You know, just the way he looked was a lot different than the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern movie.
It is a bit different, and he looks a little smaller, I would say, but it's definitely Kilowog.
Yeah. So. My big Easter egg moment came after the Age of Heroes scene. That this scene, it's so stupid that I would be so excited for this because I stood up from my chair like, oh my God, it's this. So when you see the different races, like with the mother boxes, how they're encasing them, did you notice the Amazons? How they were encasing their mother box.
Mm-mm.
They had a gem, and it shined a purple ray at the box. And in the comics, the purple ray is used by the Amazons as their technology to heal anything organic. I mean, obviously, this is not the same exact purple ray, but I noticed it, and I was like, yes, the purple ray!
I noticed the ray, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I was just laughing, just go like, man, I'm geeking out over the stupid purple ray. It was first introduced in Wonder Woman 1, like in the original comics.
Wow.
So,
like super old school.
And it's been used. Yeah. So I felt pretty proud knowing that and seeing.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I've hardly seen anyone mention that one. I made sure I put it on IMBD, and hopefully it's on there or approved.
I'll have to look for it.
You know, I want that credit.
Of course. Well, you'll have it here. How about that?
Yes. Here, this is where it's most important. Of course. Is here.
Let's see. I've been just kind of jumping around. I may have way too many notes to do everything that I wrote down, but...
Well, how about we get to the Flash? We haven't talked about him.
Okay. I still don't like him, but I like him better in this.
I like him a lot better, yes. There's no brunch involved, which, mm-hmm. I don't know, when he originally played out in the 2017, I saw him more as Wally West.
Well, that's what I was saying this week, is like, if they had just called him Wally West, I would have been, and not, you know, done the father in jail thing, which is a Barry Allen thing, I would have been perfectly fine with it. But he's not Barry Allen.
No, he's not. But there is one scene that made me think he was more Barry Allen. And maybe even more than the TV show, to be honest. And I'm taking out my notes here. The scene where you see him interact with Iris, or at least, you know, first see each other.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was shot so great to me.
Yeah.
Just how they kept looking at each other. You get the feeling of love at first sight, and Iris being the lightning rod, you know, to him.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of saw it. And I'm sure people, you know, I don't know. The way, I'm sure this is how some women might feel when they watch, you know, a drama movie and go like, oh my God, so beautiful. That's how I was. And that's haunting, fair. Beautiful song, Song of the Sirens by Rose. I'm sorry to say, mess it up. Betts. Song of the Siren by Rose Betts. That was so beautiful. I was just like, oh, that's so wonderful.
Pulling a Kevin Smith and sobbing.
I don't know. I was getting a little glassy eye, a little bit like, yes.
Yeah, that was nice. It does bring me to my only kind of complaint about what Zach does, and it's too much slow-mo. It works for Flash because because that's the way you do speed powers. I mean, they use it for Quicksilver, they use it for all sorts of speed things. But there are scenes where it's like, okay, enough. I get it. And not every single thing, the waves crashing, the football scene, like, not everything needs this long operatic music and slow-mo.
We had a slow-mo for the freaking seat of that hamburger.
Yeah.
Which, did you have flashbacks of Dawson's Creek or like our Clone High episode like I did, seeing that hamburger fall on the trucker's floor and he's just have his head down there for 30 seconds or a minute?
I did not, but I probably will next time.
Gotta get this hamburger.
Like, you're driving. It's
so important to do it in the in the city.
Yeah.
For God's sakes.
Like, best case scenario, you're going to run a red light, which is bad. Like,
I mean, I know it's not ice cream, but
just let the burger. Oh, man. No, you're not going to find a bigger hamburger fan than me, and I'm telling you, let the burger go.
Oh, I was just, when I first saw that, I'm going like, dude, no. And yeah, just leave the food on the floor, people. All right, this is your this is your safety driving, you know, from your nerds here.
Yeah, just if you drop food, unless it's going to impede your pedals, leave it. And if it is, pull over. Like,
But
aside from that, like, it just works.
Yeah, I mean, I just love how they were just looking at each other every, you know, when they could see each other, and just as, I don't know, it was just so beautiful. I was like, yes, go to her. You're a lightning rod.
Barry and Iris forever. Heart.
And I'm glad she's going to play Iris in the Flash movie.
Yeah.
You know, as official casting, that's, you know, she will be in there. And I'm hoping that they take away something from this and use it in there.
Yeah, I mean, she's only in the one scene. I mean, they could technically just redo that scene.
Or just reuse it. Yeah. I don't know.
It wouldn't make a lot of sense unless you've seen the Snyder Cut. But that's the thing. It's like, we don't know how much of the Snyder Cut is canon, and from the sounds of it, like, every Warner Brothers executive who's an idiot has said it's not.
That's unfortunate.
It is.
When I read the whole Variety deal, I was just kind of like, you're just sweeping under the rug. You had the plan before. Why not, just do it,
That's
like have another, you're established as multi-dimensional already before Marvel did it with the Spider-Verse, but now you're going to be too late to the game again.
Mm-hmm. And that's what bugs me is that Warner Brothers has become so reactionary, and they were right at Batman v Superman. Everyone poo-pooed that, and so they immediately started changing gears and trying to switch things and whatever. But it's like you're having an entire fan base, including people who have jumped ship like me, come back to you and say, this is what we want. Like, this movie, I haven't got a chance to watch Batman v Superman again, but this movie almost makes me forgive the travesty of Batman v Superman because it's so good.
You should definitely rewatch Man of Steel and BVS.
I rewatched Man of Steel.
HBO Max.
What are you promoing for HBO Max now?
Well, I want to support. That's how they're going to know, like, people want this, is
that's
if
fair.
We
do I
it
own
the
them.
Legal way and,
I
and
own
buy the
Man
hard
of Steel.
Copies or.
I own Man of Steel and the Ultimate Edition of Beavis, and I just didn't get a chance to watch it all.
Beavis.
Yeah.
Well, I for the whole week before the Snyder Cut came out, I did dedicate the time to watch those two, and I think I definitely judged a little too hard on BVS for the Martha scene.
I didn't.
Because
it's
at
dumb.
The time, I mean, I...
I get it, but it's
well,
dumb.
I mean, a little bit, yeah, but...
I don't want to get into that whole thing, because we're praising Justice League.
Yeah, I won't, but...
Seeing
anyway,
where...
Back to Justice League.
Yeah, seeing where the train was headed, like, one of my problems with Beavis was, you just introduced Superman, why are you killing him? And this movie makes that make perfect sense. Because him dying gives Darkseid the opportunity to invade. And that line of, they didn't invade before, I'm butchering it, but, they didn't invade before because they were afraid of him, is perfect. Like, I'm getting chills just thinking about it, because that makes that scene and that idea make perfect sense.
Now, I mean, don't get me wrong, I do love the movie, but I do have one big complaint about it. One big hole, plot hole. And I know you like when I point plot holes to you.
Mm-hmm. In a movie I don't like, yeah.
So, in this movie, the Snyder Cut, Darkseid, it's mentioned by Wonder Woman that Darkseid found something on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're to assume it's the anti-life equation, which, for those who don't know what the anti-life equation is, it's an equation that pretty much gives all control to life. And
which they do explain in the Snyder Cut, which is awesome. Just them saying the anti-life equation made me happy.
Oh, yeah. And so they have... He originally went to Earth years ago to get it,
mm-hmm.
and was defeated because Earth was too united.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you would think they would put a bookmark on the ultimate power of the universe and or also that my one defeat is being this planet. You would think they would bookmark it or put it in the save these coordinates for later. Hopefully I can build an army to take over this planet.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that too. It's like, okay, he knew. It'd be one thing if Darkseid didn't know that the anti-life equation was there. But they pretty much said that he did.
Yeah.
So how would you just forget that?
Or forget that this is the one planet that defied you, that beat you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you kind of remember, like, hey, let's not go here, okay? But no, they kind of forgot it, Either by time. Maybe I can forgive it by time, but
It's yeah, because, I mean, it's been like 1,000 years. Like,
but it sounds like they remember, you know, even Desawa's like, yes, everyone knows that, or that. Yeah. We know.
It's the story we all tell at the campfire. I knew it. Yeah, I noticed that the second go-around, and I went, okay. But here's what I will say in defense of that, is, and it's the reason why I crap on Batman v Superman so much. In an overall good movie, I can forgive a problem here or there. But when it's a bad movie, the stupid things become worse. And that's why I rag on Batman v Superman so much, because it's like, I don't really care that Batman kills people. I care when he kills people, Lex Luthor doesn't act like Lex Luthor, the story doesn't make sense, Batman's wanting to kill Superman just because, and this, and the file folders with everybody's official logos on it, and all of this stuff. It's like, one of those problems by themselves is fine, but 50 problems piled onto them makes it bad.
Yeah, no, I agree, because... I mean, even for the Snyder Cut, for being 4 hours, it didn't feel like 4 hours.
No. The first go-around, I blew through it in one sitting.
Well, I mean, for me being up at 2:30 in the morning and not dozing off, yeah, you know.
It like, I've watched some really long-ass movies, but this was a very brisk and fun 4 hours. And after I finished it, I wanted to watch it again. And the only reason I didn't is because it was late and it's 4 hours long. Like,
well, I've been kind of watching. Well, I mean, we finished watching it a second time, watched it with the wife finally, you know, after we put the kids to bed, you know, because I don't want them to hear, you know, the F word being, you know, fuck on.
Yeah.
You know,
that is something I would complain about, is the F bombs and the blood are not necessary.
I was okay with Cyborg saying it, you know, the one time. If that was their one use of it, I was like, okay, that's fine. He's pissed, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, hearing, you know, random henchmen and Batman saying it, I'm like, okay. I'm not a prude or anything, but I don't need my boys to be saying this around grandma.
Yeah, and I don't have kids, so I don't care so much about that, but it's more just... it's not who they are as characters.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Well.
And again, it works for the darker Snyder cut, but.
Well, you kind of touched a little bit about Cyborg. So are you used to him saying booyah or I don't know?
A little, but I don't care. I talked
with a friend recently about it. Okay. I was talking with a friend and he's not on the Cyborg fan, you know, of. Him saying booyah. I mean, like, you know, kind of wish he was saying booyah. And I kind of looked into it a little bit. He doesn't say it in the comics originally.
So what's it from?
You know, it's from the Teen Titans cartoon show.
Oh.
And they finally had him say it in the comics not too long ago.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, that's...
Yeah, he didn't, you know, he seems comic accurate for the beginning.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I think he works perfectly well. Like I said, I don't think Ray Fisher's the greatest actor who ever lived, and oh my god, no one else could be Cyborg ever. He did fine. But
yeah, no, I like Cyborg from Doom Patrol. He's fun.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's one of those things when you said it was from the cartoons and immediately reminded me of people who were pissed that Ryan Reynolds was Green Lantern because their Green Lantern was Jon Stewart. From the Justice League cartoon, and they thought that, you know, they were recasting and oh my god, how could they do this? And I had to tell them, like, no, Hal Jordan is the first Green Lantern, Jon Stewart was second.
Yeah, no, I was one of those, not for the movie, but even when they did it in the DCAU, when they showed Hal Jordan the one time, I was like, who's this guy? And you know, finally I learned who it is. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Did you listen to the Out of Work, you know, Sidekicks and they told you the history of Green Lantern?
Yes, yes. I remember that episode very fondly. But that's not where I learned it from. Oh, you know, okay. I learned it later on.
You could have just said yes.
When fine. I actually read
Yeah.
But no, there's, yeah, and Wonder Woman, I don't know, she was okay.
Yeah.
You know,
I liked her more in this than the Wonder Woman movies, I would say. She was much more of a cool fighter, and she had a lot of awesome fight scenes where she was actually, like, powerful and took control and was, like, the third leader of the group like she is in the books.
Yeah, and also, I mentioned, like, different takes. In the Joss version, you hear when she's fighting with Superman, she says, Kal-El, no! But in this one, there was a different take of that using the same words, but it was a little bit better, you know? And not as weird.
Yeah.
Sounding.
Yeah. I mean...
But I only got tired of her theme song. As I put on subtitles, it was called The Ancient Lamets or something.
Hmm.
You know, when you hear...
Yeah. By the third time, I was like, okay, you don't need to do it every time she does something cool. I get it.
But
it, I mean, and they did it in Batman v Superman, too. Every time she did something, it was that na 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 na.
Well, I didn't mind that one, but they kept using that same, like, you know, Xena-like sound, you know, every time she appeared. And even at the very end when she sliced Steppenwolf's head off, they played it, like, they just threw that in there. I'm like, oh my god, no.
Not every time.
And I bought this, that's a drinking game right there, you know.
Unnecessary theme music through the soundtrack. The DCEU.
Yeah. I bought the soundtrack for it, though.
Right. So you didn't hate it that much.
There is some cool songs. Huh?
You didn't hate it that much.
No. Well, because I like the other songs, you know, and it's, I mean, I like the other one too, the other soundtrack to their 2017, but it was just kind of reusing old, you know, some of the good songs mixed in.
Yeah.
You know, and I prefer like something new.
Yeah. I get that. And there was a brief moment where I was like, oh, I kind of miss that I'm not going to hear the old school Danny Elfman Batman score. But then I went, no, I'm glad, because that isn't necessary and it's just stupid fan service and this is what it should have been in the first place. So I got over it.
Mm.
Well, before we, because we're kind of rambling, so I don't want to just keep plopping along here and stretch this out for the sake of it, but I do want to mention the ending. Because, I mean, that's worth the price of admission there. For one, them fighting Steppenwolf made much more sense. It was much more of a team effort and was just a funner thing. Like, they actually let Flash be part of the plan and not crowd control, which was nice.
Well, and, yeah, are we talking about the first time they fought Steppenwolf or the last time?
Last time.
Yeah, no, it's, Flash really got, I mean, a majority of them got redeemed. Flash got really redeemed by showing his full potential of his powers, or at least a hint of what he could do.
Yeah.
You know, turning back time.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I didn't see that coming, and that made me go, oh my god, this is just fantastic. Just to see,
what?
Like, oh my god, Steppenwolf won, and, you know, he united the stuff, and everyone's going to die, and Barry going, okay, you got to go fast, got to go faster than you've ever gone, break the rule, and seeing the reverse of time, and, you know, the street being rebuilt, and Superman coming back together, that was awesome.
Well, and I love how they did hint that already with the mother box and him touching it, you know, in the middle of the movie. And you go, wait, did he just, you know, like, or is that just Zack Snyder, you know, kind of messing with us a little bit? But then you see it happen, you know, and that's how he saved the world. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And it's not a sky beam. It's just an explosion, you know.
So freaking cool. So anything else you want to brush on before we get to the big ending with the flash forward and everything?
No, let's get to the epilogue, as they called it, you know, after they won the day, you know, what's the first one was, yeah, the first one is Lex Luthor, right?
Yeah. And which is more or less the same, except for the scene with him and Deathstroke.
Giving that, instead of saying, shouldn't we have a legion of our own, mm-hmm. you know, hinting at Legion of Doom, this time we get, you know, his name is Bruce Wayne. Mm.
Which was awesome. Was pretty cool. Well, and the thing is that it was supposed to set up the Batman movie with Ben Affleck and Manganiello coming back as Deathstroke.
And, God, I want that movie.
I know. I do,
that,
too.
That would have been so cool.
That's another thing. Like, and this movie makes me mad of all the things that we could have had and won't.
Well, and that, in 2017, they had it in their mind already, it seemed, of like, no, we're not going to do that. Just say, you know, Legion of Doom, you know, maybe we'll do that big. We're not going to pursue Batman, you know, yeah. with Affleck or, you know, the Deathstroke movie, which it's something we haven't seen before. Yeah. And that would have been...
I know.
They looked so good.
I know. God, I wish. And then, of course... The big one.
The real, yeah, the where the other half of the money went for more shoots. 5 years later, in the desert, you know, nightmare Batman again.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of it?
It's fantastic. It was super cool. I mean, we see the nightmare Batman, which we glimpsed in Batman v Superman. We see Cyborg. And we see an armored up Flash, which we got hinted at in Batman v Superman, which, again, I love that this movie makes that make sense. Like, that was such a random, dumb scene in Batman v Superman, but watching this, it's like, oh, he meant this is where Lois is important, and something that happened to her, like Darkseid killed her or something, and it brought upon this, and that's what Barry was trying to warn Bruce about. Like, everything clicked.
Well, and that the movie like establishes that Barry can go back in time.
Yeah.
Like, he can turn back the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the notes and some other extra notes that I found of the whole thing, it's a really cool idea, just a lot to unpack though. Yeah. If it was turned into a movie,
right? Yeah,
and Mira coming out with two jugs of water, you know, she's carrying around for her weapon.
That was a nice touch. Cool. And the
knowing that she kind of sucks water out of you or bloodbend, like. Mm.
Which that was an awesome scene when she fights Steppenwolf and like sucks the water out of his body. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we also get future Deathstroke with the Mohawk, which was cool. And then obviously the biggest reveal, Jared Leto back as the Joker.
Yeah, what'd you think of that one? That I had mixed from different fans, you know, saying they liked it or they loved it. Some of the ones that say they don't like it is because he doesn't say we live in a society. And I'm like, it's not that important.
No. I think the dumb thing about that, I guess, is like, this is the Snyder Cut, the official, like, this is everything. Why would you put something in a trailer that's not in the movie?
Yeah.
That's the only thing that bothers me about it. But otherwise, it was fantastic. And it showed why Jared Leto should have been allowed to play the Joker longer.
And maybe not have as much tattoos.
Yeah.
You know?
That was nice too. He looked creepy. He looked super cool. I loved the voice. It was a little close to Heath Ledger for me. But all in all, it was awesome.
He still had the mouth. He had that that grill in his mouth, you know?
Yeah, but it looked like it was like rusted and damaged and gross, which was awesome.
And seeing all those police badges on him, you know, like he killed them for his collection. Like, oh.
Yeah.
And it made me so curious why, you know, Batman would keep him around, you know, if it was his code or maybe not code, you know.
I don't know. Because, yeah, I mean, there is that scene where he's like, you know, I promised Harley as she was dying in my arms that I would kill you slowly and I will kill you. And then Joker's like, ah, you almost had me there. It's like, so I don't know. It doesn't make sense that it'd be his code because the Snyderverse has him kill people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Well, given that we kind of know already from the notes of what the future was or what it was going to be, you know, but there's no mention of Joker around that time. I'm like, well, I like to have known what would have happened. That's probably the only mystery maybe of what could have happened.
I know that in like Justice League 2, they were going to say, yeah, they were going to finally show Joker killing Robin. I think that's the thing I read. But other than that, yeah, I don't know why they would have him there other than
just saw a picture
for shock.
I just saw a picture today of, like, I mean, in the past, it was mentioned that from Zach's little private website he's on or whatever, mentioning that that's Robin's suit that we see. That's Dick Grayson from in BVS, where you see that suit that's dead. Well, apparently in BVS, where you see Bruce Wayne at the cemetery to visit his family, in the background there is a tombstone that says Dick Grayson. Yeah. Well, that was just came out today. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But still wish it was Jason Todd, but, you know.
Oh, I mean, it's almost more impactful that it's Dick, given that he is the Robin. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the Snyderverse. I mean, he killed off Jimmy Olsen as a CIA operative in the first 10 minutes of the movie. So.
That's true.
You know.
Well. And I wish the movie just ended right there, you know. I mean, it would have sucked to just leave it on a cliffhanger, you know.
Well, they still did.
But it was... Well, I mean, they still did, but they ended kind of a more of a hope kind of way with this, the third ending being Bruce Wayne and Martian Manhunter meeting, you know, and like, huh, what's this? And he's like, you must be prepared for what's to come. He knows about the anti-life equation. I'm like, well, you know the anti-life, so what's...
Everybody seems to know this now. But like I said, I think originally that was supposed to be Jon Stewart, and Warner Brothers said no, so they made do with Martian Manhunter.
You know, if it was supposed to be a Green Lantern, it would make a little more sense that a Green Lantern would know. Because he has access to files from the Guardians, you know.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to convince me that they should have a Green Lantern in this movie.
Yeah.
More than the ones that they
I
do.
Know. Yeah. But anyway, how would you rank this movie? Like, what's your numbers? Or where do you place it in comic book movies altogether?
It's tough, but I mean, I would say it's probably one of the best DC movies we've had since Man of Steel.
Okay, yeah.
It's the first one since there that I watched it and went, I want to watch this again. There hasn't been a DC movie since where I've actually thought that. Maybe Shazam, because that was a lot of fun, but...
I give this movie an 8.
Eight.
If I were to give it a number
out of 10. Yeah, I'd go 8. I maybe even an 8.5 just because I was so surprised. Like, I never expected to like a DC movie this much again.
The fanboy in me would give it a 9.
Sure.
You know? So, but I give it more of an 8.5. Yeah. Yeah, like in there.
Yeah, it's
that seems like a good number for.
Yeah, it's solid. It's great. It's a lot of fun, and it pays things off. Like I said, at some point I want to have a free weekend and just binge down Man of Steel, Beavis, Ultimate Edition, and this to see that full arc, because I have a feeling it's going to be a lot more, I don't know, it's going to pay off a lot better than it did, the, you know, with what we got.
Yeah, and I think Warner Brothers is seriously missing an opportunity here. You know, you don't get as much traction like this, and, you know, with too many movies, and yeah, I don't know. It just makes me, I mean, I'm really happy for Zack Snyder to get his story told, and, you know, I kind of understand a little bit from Warner Brothers' point of view of maybe not pursuing it.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, but I just wish for more. That's all I wish.
Yeah.
You know.
I wish for more, but I'm happy with what we finally got.
Yeah. And plus there's that outline, you know, I'll try to post a link to it on our page. If you're interested in learning what the outline of the original plan was,
mm-hmm.
go read it. Otherwise, yeah, it's great. I had a lot of fun watching it.
Me too.
And
I plan on watching it again very soon. Glad I woke up at
2:30. Oh, that doesn't happen for you too often with it a doesn't. DC movie.
That's the thing. Like I, since Man of Steel, there has not been a single DC movie where I've wanted to watch it this much, except for the animated stuff. And it's, yeah, I mean, it, like I said, it fulfilled all the promise that was given in Man of Steel. You know, like I said, it's not perfect, and there are problems I have with Zack Snyder's vision just because it's not quite DC. But if you put the multiverse in and go, this is just a version, not the definitive version, I'll watch it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that from... This is why I wanted to do... You know, if we were going to end on a high note, I would want to do, you know, a review, you know, of a movie that we both like, and also me being a DC guy and you being a Marvel guy. Just I wanted to hear your point of view too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You finally won me like I said, go ahead.
Oh, well, I mean, like... I know you know the DC pretty well, and a big fan of Green Lantern of all things, you know, and it's just nice hearing your side of it.
Yeah, I mean,
read the books, like, people.
Yeah, I am a DC fan. It doesn't come out very often because their live action movies have been so garbage, but I buy every single animated movie that comes out and watch it. And more often than not, watch it more than once because they're always usually pretty good. So to me, this is like a breath of fresh air. I think I'm so excited about it because it's like, this is what I always hoped we would get, kind of. It's as close to what I was hoping we would get as we've gotten since Man of Steel.
Well, just something I feel comfortable telling friends about it, you know, that are not into comics as much, but they still see like a Marvel movie, and
yeah,
I would like, you know, and I can tell my folks like, hey, you know, watch this, it's a lot of fun, you know, but again, it's that hurdle of like, it's 4 hours. I'm like, it's long, but it's still fun.
Yeah, space it out over a couple nights, HBO, just enjoy. I like that it's broken up into parts because it makes it easier. Smart thing
by putting like, yeah, the putting it in parts, and you can actually see it when you pause it, you know, like see the bookmarks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. That's, I kind of wish some other movies do that, you know, because some are just too long and I need to just go directly to it with the remote.
Fair enough. Well, that's been our Snyder Cut Justice League review.
Now,
go ahead.
For one last time, though. What if you were to have a Funko Pop?
I want Darkseid.
What would you want?
I want Darkseid.
And
on the throne.
Okay, I just, yeah. Oh, gosh, it looks so good. they are releasing at least 4 Funko Pops of Snyder Cuts, but they're in black and white.
And there is a black and white version coming for the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. I don't know if I'm going to watch that.
Probably not.
I need color,
yeah,
to be honest. And yeah, there's a Darkseid, there's a Desaad, a Superman, and I think it's a Batman one. I can't remember
probably
what the fourth one was.
That would be my guess.
But if I were to have, if I were to have a Funko Pop, I want just the New Gods, you know, only. Because I love the way they look in this version.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. Or a Yolongur. That'd be cool, too. Because that's the only way that's ever going to get in anything.
No. Yeah. Yeah, you should wish for that, Justin. Yeah. That's...
There's no way that random-ass Green Lantern will ever get a figure of anything, so...
No. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see when we get the... When we get a Green Lantern show.
Yeah.
You know, eventually.
Fingers crossed. But,
yeah. Well, you know, I want to thank everyone that has at least support us on this show.
Definitely.
And I hope you continue supporting us as we go through different podcast shows and other projects.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, this has been great. It's been nice to come back for a final hurrah. And like you said, you know, end on a high note was something we both really enjoyed. Come find me over on Pod and Gore with Brandon, or over on We Are Marvel with Jeremy, both available wherever you listen to podcasts.
And watch out and listen for, Detective Commentary, a commentary podcast investigating the DC.
Yeah. And once that drops, we'll definitely be posting links and shares and things onto the other Facebooks to, you know, let you know that it's out. So keep your eyes peeled.
Yep.
Look to the stars.
Yep. Look to the stars.
All right.
But again, thank you everyone for those who left reviews.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah. And we hope to see you around the Nerds World. Until then, I've been Justin.
And I've been Andrew.
And thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.